Our next case is EA 13-1062660A, the Park Central, Block 15. The applicant is John Meadows of Bora Architects. The address is the block bounded by Northwest 10th, 11th, Northrop, and Overton. And Kara Fioravanti is our planner. Hi, Kara.
Hi, thanks. Before I begin, I just want to go over what got passed out to you. First, there's a very brief letter from the Portland Parks and Rec Bureau that I got today, and Bora passed out a new packet of drawings. It's not new necessarily, it's just supplemental information, a couple new drawings. And with that, I'll begin my presentation.
Wow, he's taller.
So here's a proposal, a tower in the River District, a condo tower. It includes about 153 condo units, ground level retail, about 8,800 square feet. There'll be some ground level live work as well, 4,500 square feet. Parking will be above grade, totaling 171 spaces. The access is from Northwest 11th, as well as loading and other service back of house functions. There's a extensive roof terrace at level 4 that cascades down to level 3 at the north and south facades that face the two parks, and you'll see that in a moment in plan. Here's the zoning. It's, as I said, it's in the river sub-district within the Central City Plan District. The zoning is EXD, which is Central Employment with Design Overlay. It sits between two of the parks in the River District. To the south is Tanner Springs Park. And to the north is the Fields Park, which is, I think, slated to open April of this year.
May.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pushed out a little. So it's. I think we'll all agree it's a really exciting site within the River District. The FAR allowed maximum is 9-1. It's pretty much close to 9-1, but just under. So here we see it within the Fields Park, Tanner Springs. It's a full block bounded by 10th to the east, 11th to the west, to the south is Northrop, to the north is Overton. 10th is the boardwalk street, so the plan is to provide the standard boardwalk for the full frontage to make that connection. To the south at Northrop is where the streetcar turns from 10th and goes west along Northrop. So Northrop is the transit street for this block. Overton to the north is a bikeway that leads directly out to front this way, past the Encore. And I thought I'd just mention a couple things. In about a month, there's a design advice request for this block, block 17. Along Pettigrove, we just saw Planet Granite, I think, is right here, and the Parker's under construction. So we're starting to fill these holes. You saw a few DARs recently within this triangle to the north. So this area is getting hot again. Here's a vicinity map showing the proposed project in plan with Tanner Springs, the Fields Park, the Encore. The blue is depicted by Bora as the towers nearby, and this is the tower that sits in the proposal at the southwest corner of the block. I'm going to go through a few modifications for the project and then just show some site vicinity photos and let Bora explain the project in detail. So there's a slight height modification that is actually referenced in the letter from Portland Parks and Rec. They basically say, let's consider this modification. They're not opposed to it, but they just want Design Commission to make sure this seems reasonable. Staff's position is that it is reasonable. So the standard in the code says height for this block is allowed to be up to 460 feet if the shadow cast on the park at two times, April 21st at noon and April 21st at 3 p.m., the shadow cast by the new tower isn't any more than a tower that would be within the zoning base zoning allowances. So what you see here, April 21st at 3, the Fields Park is to the north right here. There's no shadow for either proposal. This is the base zoning model, and this is what's proposed. So nothing there. At noon, this is the building to the base zoning allowances. There's no shadow at the property line. The proposed tower has this little slight corner at the southeast corner of Fields Park, about 718 square feet, I believe, additional shadow. So that's where the modification is for this standard. The other modifications are generally at ground level and focus mostly at 11th, namely because there needs to be a place for the back of house functions and service functions, obviously Northrop being the transit street, 10th being the boardwalk, and Overton facing Fields Park. This is the one best street for those areas. So first, ground level active use. The code says that for this south half of the block, parking is not allowed. Obviously, there's some parking shown, but it would be it won't be perceived from the public, obviously, because of the lobby and retail areas. Ground floor windows, this isn't going away. The code allows the building to be set back 5 feet and landscaped for parking areas, which Bora is doing, setting back the building and landscaping. However, as a technicality, this isn't parking, so there is a ground floor window modification for 11th. Sorry, the yellow box should disappear, but where the windows are being proposed are at the corners. There's retail at both corners, but then for this stretch from here to about here, it's the service functions, and there's a landscape strip, but from a technical standpoint, the ground floor window standard isn't met. It's exceeded on all three other streets. Transit Street main entrance, the code says that retail spaces that face a transit street must have a door facing the street. This retail space has a door close to the street, but faces 11th, doesn't face Northrop. And then finally, number of loading spaces. Two loading spaces are required. One is proposed. So that's sort of the zoning overview for the building. And then a few site photos. They're old, so they don't show the progress of Fields Park, unfortunately. But this is standing at Northrop and 11th looking west. On the left is Tanner Springs Park. On the right would be the proposed tower. This is the Sitka Apartments. This is Bridgeport. It used to be called Bridgeport. I think it has a new name, Burlington. Or it's Bridgeport. Okay, thanks. Looking north at Northrop and 11th, on the left is the proposed site. On the right, you see the Encore in the back. I'm forgetting the name of this building as well. Thank you. And this would be Fields Park, Fremont Bridge. This is the Ramona and the Sitka. Looking south back toward the site, the Sitka, we see the Encore facing Tanner Springs Park, Bridgeport, the Wyatt. Looking north, just where the Fields Park is, beyond that Centennial Mills, the bridge, so there'll be great views. Looking west on Overton, this would be, I mentioned Block 17, that's coming to you in about a month. So this is a new proposed apartment tower. And the Sitka on the left. And finally, looking back south, going to 11th, where the parking entry loading service functions are across from the Sitka, looking down the street, and then back at the intersection of 11th and Northrop with Bridgeport, Tanner Springs. So just walking you around the site. And then basically to end with the discussion topics, of course you could have more, but first to begin focusing on the tower. Obviously, this is a very high-profile site. The expectation is high. I think Bora is meeting that challenge, but a good discussion today about the sculptural qualities of the tower and quality materials. There is above-grade parking, and the parking would be at the edge of the building for the floors 2 and 3 at the east and west facade. So what that skin is and how that shields the parking is a point of discussion. I think the building's doing a really good job activating the streets. the parks, the boardwalk. We should at least address 11th. It is the right street for all the functions, but how to mitigate for not fully engaging the street, whether through materials or maybe a little more windows or the landscaping, et cetera, just to talk about that. And with that, I'm done, unless you have any questions.
Are there questions of Kara?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay.
I might have missed it, but with that shadow issue, is the massing zoning diagram such that the south half is the tower on the block?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they couldn't be to the north, and then, all right. So their diagram
Correct.
Is reflective of limits of mass?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. Then please go ahead with your presentation.
John Meadows for Architects. Good to be here. This new packet is only minimally different, but we've been working really fast the last 6 weeks, and so 10 days is a long time for us, so there are some minor improvements. I'll try to point those out as we go along, but they're not fundamentally different than what you've already seen. So we're exploring the idea, really Hoyt's exploring the idea of a new condo tower, a very high-quality project in the North Pearl, and we're really doing it with one of the fundamental ideas of supporting the unique zoning that was set up a few years ago in the North Pearl that really encourages and allows tall, thin buildings. And so tall, thin buildings can be really handsome. They're incredibly costly. And so this is an aspiration. We're in the process right now of testing it. You know, can we do a good design that's affordable, that all the numbers work? But it's really what we intend and want to do here. As I think Kara mentioned, the program is slightly in flux, but it's fundamentally the same. We're probably 155 to 160 units, still in that range, 171 parking spaces, more or less, 28 stories, 350 feet tall, and just under 9-to-1 FAR. As Kara said, it's one of the more unique sites in the city. It's probably the best site Hoyt Street Properties has. And if there's any site in the city, or certainly in the North Pearl, where this is allowed, that one would explore the idea of a really special, high-quality, tall-thin building, this is a site that seems deserving of that kind of work. And so we've got our charge put in front of us. And just to quickly walk through how the building has been formed, this will go pretty quickly. You can always deal with questions. We've increased the amount of retail since the packet you have. We're closer to 10,000 square feet of retail on the south and the east. Plus, we have on the north a flex space that's to work or live. And so it could eventually be retail. It could initially be residential. It's a flex space that really depends on who would like to be there. As Kara mentioned, there are 2.5 levels, or really each level is more or less a half level, but on 3 levels of parking held to the center of the block. It does come to the property line on the east and the west. It's wrapped by retail and housing to the north and the south, so it's screened from the park, but also we don't want to waste those incredible park views with anything other than housing and retail. It's especially unique because of our position between the two parks, not only the views we have of the parks, the long views to the north that are virtually protected of river, mountains, bridges. And we really wanted to help the residents feel like they were sort of in this parkscape and to use the roof of the podium as this extension of the park. And there's an attitude you'll see as we've made the building, it's one of kind of cutting and eroding away at the sort of volumes to create not only some programmatic fit, but also a kind of sculptural quality. We wanted units at the roof terrace to activate the podium so it's not just a gigantic garden. And so we began to erode away at that to create the guest suites and flats and things at that level. the attitude about the landscape sort of takes that same idea of erosion. Rather than adding planters, it's an attitude as if that podium were filled with landscape and we cut away where we want paths and rooms. And then as we think about the tower, also thinking about cutting away so that the attitude about providing decks at all the tower units is really to make incisions into the tower, which provides what we think are more useful and comfortable outdoor living spaces for the tower, especially at these kinds of heights. It also begins to break up or fracture the tower, making it seem more thin and more vertical. So along this theme of trying to get the smallest floor plate and one that even seems smaller. And Kara kind of mentioned the site, but just kind of quickly, not unlike the Metropolitan, we've placed the tower to do two things, to protect the views of other major tall buildings around us, but also to maximize the view. So the southwest corner seemed like the best and only good place for the tower. It has to be on the south side of the property. But we do have the four-story podium, which really helps stitch together with the existing four- to six-story low-rise and mid-rise fabric that exists throughout the neighborhood. It's probably a neighborhood more of low-rise than it is of towers, frankly. The retail also is really important, even though, you know, as you get this far north, it's a bit of a stretch, you know, leasing these spaces for a while. It seems like it's just the right thing to do, and so we've really maximized the retail, certainly at the boardwalk and at the south side where we have the streetcar. And then at the north side, that bar being those flex units, which could be either residential units with stoops or working spaces or eventually retail spaces facing the park. And as Kara mentioned, the only kind of reasonable solution for service is really to the west. We have parks on two sides, the streetcar to the south, the boardwalk to the east, quite a bit of traffic on Overton as well. And so we have focused our services, entrances, you know, delivery, things of that sort on 11. Just looking a little more quickly, and a little bit of this is cut off, but you can probably get the idea. Essentially, along the south and the east is retail. The main tower lobby is south, slightly to the west of center there. The paler blue is the tower lobby. But we've got larger, deeper retail. We're hoping to attract more than just kind of boutique retail. And so it's sizable enough for either larger footprint stores or restaurants. There is a small retail on the southwest corner. These are the four flex spaces. They can be work, live across the top. They're raised 1 foot above street level, so they each have a stoop. Should they be residential, there's a bit of privacy to that outdoor space. There's a secondary, smaller lobby at the northeast corner opening off of the boardwalk that serves the residential units that are along the north side of this bar. And then, as Kara mentioned, there are really two entrances and a number of services. The garage entrance is in this position off of 11th. The loading entrance is in this position where we load into the back of elevators. And then we have generators and gas rooms for the metering system and trash coming out. And this is sort of in flux, but generally the kind of zone of services there. We have all of our bike parking, all of the 1.5 spaces per unit on this level with an entrance off of the boardwalk into the parking zone. Seemed important to really provide all of that at street level for abundant parking. Second and third levels are somewhat similar with maybe one exception. As mentioned from the diagram, so there's a bar of residential units on the north and on the south. The one to the north accessed by that small lobby that was off of the boardwalk, and one to the south accessed from the tower, and this one wraps the corner much more. As Kara mentioned, the parking does come to the skin on the east and west. You'll see in some new elevations, it's essentially wrapped in the same curtain wall system that we would use to clad the rest of the building. The only difference at the third level is there's a cut. And I think maybe in your package there were two cuts, one at the north and one at the south, which really improve the views up to the roof garden and the views down from the roof garden to the park. Because at the fourth level, you're just high enough that you get long views of the park, but you can actually be quite close to the park and not see it. And we really wanted these to sort of make this kind of greater visual connection, and also just to have a sense of the landscape stepping down so you feel, you sort of see the landscape in terms of trees and things like that. So we currently have this south cut, which has a fire pit. It's really a common area for people who live in the building. As part of just trying to get the efficiency and the numbers to work, this upper cut has gone away. We simply, with a tiny floor plate, these efficiencies aren't nearly what you would get in a sort of a slab building. And so we're just trying to tighten some of those numbers. At the podium level, this is also slightly different than what you have. But we have these north and south cuts, which really provide the views to the two parks and the connections. That's the depressed garden that steps down to the third level. This is one out to the east. We had one, I think, in your packet to the west, that, again, we're just having to work these last weeks on pumping up the efficiency to get the numbers to work. And so we've increased a few units, which is why our unit count's up slightly from what Kara had, by connecting this tower core to a series of units, some of which have park views, some of which have garden terraces. There's some guest suites and some other units here. Most of these also have garden terraces. Mm-hmm. And you can see we're in the very early stages of the landscape design with Two Ink Studio. But just that notion of as if this whole thing were a garden, and we're starting to cut where we need paths and where we need, there's sort of a larger outdoor space. We have a community room, meeting room, fitness center that open out onto this. This was an earlier view before this current landscape direction, but I think the attitude's probably similar. You get a sense this is looking south. that cut that would look back if you went over to the edge down to Tanner Springs Park, this community room with large social space, and then a series of essentially one-story units that wrap this with gardens and outdoor terraces that are more private to those units. You get a little bit of a sense of the inset balconies and the second material. There's essentially a curtain wall system and then a second material, which I'll discuss in a moment, that exists in a number of these cuts, but also that runs up inside of those decks. Just a typical tower floor. We're under 8,500 square feet, which is exciting, but also a challenge because it's a costly. We have a lot of skin. We have a lot of elevator stops. Because of this height, the structural requirements are pretty challenging. We have some pretty innovative systems, a scissor stair, this interior moment frame. We've eliminated the dual structural system. So we're looking for some real efficiencies to make the project more affordable. And then typically in the lower part of the tower, we have 6 units per floor. In the upper part of the tower, we have 5 units per floor. At the top of the tower, there are 3 penthouse floors. Every unit in the tower has one of these decks that are already cut in. That's something of an interior room, if you will. Again, a kind of view of what that might be like. I think the sense is with the rain and the wind and our climate, frankly, even on lower elevations, many of these decks are too narrow and small to be used. They're too wet. And certainly, I think at heights of 350 feet with wind and rain, it felt like a more protected space, not to mention some people's fear of heights. Could make it just a more extended living area that could work in a much longer season. And you can see that sense of another material that looks like boards and will look something like boards, I think, that really comes in and sort of changes the scale from this more crystalline cladding on the outside. Just some very simple massing views, essentially from the north, looking back at the tower. These are residential units looking out. This is the flex space, the lobby on this corner, the flex spaces across this edge, which have the stoops. And then just from the other side of the park, also looking south. If we were south looking back, this is the retail space, the lobby, which enters under this first cut here. Retail space and retail space moving down the boardwalk. All of the active ground uses, other than this tiny little retail space, there's a 5-foot setback. So we get some weather protection outside of the retail. We get a wider sidewalk in case there's street furniture, especially if we could get restaurants. This is just a view looking east along Northrop Street, just to get a sense of, you barely see the podium, but you certainly see the tower coming up. We're starting to do more detailed elevations. I won't spend a lot of time on these, but they do start to develop the sort of details of this. We have some new renderings, which I'll come to in a second, that are more detailed renderings that do a better job, I think, of showing it. Although, actually, I might back up. This is the one area along 11th that Kara mentioned. So we have the live work or the flex space here. We have this retail space whose glass is actually slightly bigger there. We have the garage entrance. We have the loading entrance. And we have generator, some trash entrances. Our current thinking, in addition to this landscape buffer, is the second material that you'll see in a second that looks like boards. It would be a cementitious plank. That we're imagining that a lot of this cladding, even the louvers potentially, could be essentially this sort of a planked wall system that would integrate and conceal the louvers, be a more pedestrian scale finish. I'll show you that in just a second. This is, as Kara mentioned, certainly one of the biggest decisions. It's kind of a go, no-go decision in terms of how well the project works. We've done this modeling, and just to kind of cut to the chase, as Kara said, there's a little over 700 square feet of shadow on this piece of sidewalk at the corner of the park. To make that shadow go away would reduce the building by about three stories, and either be a building that's one Hoyt isn't interested in doing, or would be a shorter, wider building, which is sort of counter to the aspirations. But I think we're really needing some advice on that today about how you feel about this and whether you can support this. Actually, I should have mentioned we met with the Pearl District Neighborhood Association on the 9th, on the 5th, to a huge crowd. I think it's fair to say we had nothing but positive comments. There were really no criticisms, including concerns about this. I think the only comment that came up was a concern about whether the parking along the boardwalk was a suitable solution, although that's one driven by PBOT rather than us. And it is unique in this block because there's no streetcar. I think some people in the neighborhood pointed out that on all the blocks south, there's no parking, of course, but we have the streetcar on those blocks. And so that's a decision that would not be one that we would make. So I do have a few of these renderings that just start to look closer up and moving around the building. We're imagining the exterior skin to be a curtain wall system, essentially structurally glazed, very crystalline. There's the retail space. There's the lobby with a lobby entrance, potential lobby, the building signage, the retail. And this is that 5-foot setback, which also then extends down along 10th at the other retail by the boardwalk. We're just starting to think about signage, both with that setback, the ability to drop signage and suspend it, to integrate it, but also with this plank system to build some occasional opaque panels so people could do surface-mounted signs or if they're doing illuminated signs or whatever. You can see the second material, which we really have two, then starts to shape into these cuts where we cut into that glass system. This is that third-level outdoor space, which then allows the podium to sort of view down. And also just as you look up to have this sense of the park that kind of comes up over the roof. We also have eco roofs on all of these lower buildings. I didn't mention that when I was going, but all of these buildings at the fourth level would have green roofs. We're looking for just a very simple, kind of quiet, crystalline, high-quality skin. This would be looking along the boardwalk, and so there's at some point the corner retail comes directly to the street, and there's its 5-foot setback on the south. And then we set back again for this retail with a similar attitude about either hanging signs or surface-mounted signs. We have the small lobby, its entrances, and kind of a sitting area on this corner. And then we set back again for stoops along the work or flex spaces. Kara mentioned the question about how we're handling parking. Essentially, there are two levels of parking that land right in this zone. The current thinking is the curtain wall system will just clad across those. We've done some early calculations. We have very minimal need for fresh air, and we're looking at taking the same module, whichever it happens to be, of our operable vent, potentially leaving those vents out. And then I think this thing we haven't looked at is then how we would deal with sort of nighttime attitude. I think in the daytime, this would be a virtually invisible garage. In the nighttime, I think we would either treat the glass differently, whether it's a frit or something translucent. We certainly don't want to see headlights behind it, and so we'd need something opaque to block headlights so they weren't shining through. But I think the sort of bones are there to come up with a solution that really fully integrates the parking with the rest of the building. This would be that east cut that then looks down from the fourth level. We go to the top of the building. I think one thing I'd mentioned earlier, these inset decks and essentially taking this tiny tower and making it into four even smaller ones really allows us a lot of flexibility to sort of make the top of the tower more sculptural. We're helped a little bit. The floor plate is so small we can't get the mechanical in one level, and so there's one piece of the southwest corner of the mechanical tower is double height, and it just allows us to start to step these, and that they change plane as well to just create a much more sort of interesting sculptural top to the building. The thinking is that some of that plank material would come up and clad some of these core elements, at least on the outer face. The idea is that we would bring the curtain wall system up to clad the mechanical systems, some of which may be roofed, some of which may be open to the sky. We've really not selected glass, but I think the general thinking is we want it to be light and crystalline, so we'll look at a glass that's not too dark. We're not looking at any metal panel, for example, like this image, but I think we need to be vision panel or spandrel panel, more or less, to be as invisible as possible, which may mean there's a slight percentage of reflectivity in the glass, but not too much because we want to see the residential light that's happening. I've brought some samples if you're interested. We've looked at a whole number of products for the second material, which is really one that goes down at the street level, that goes in those decks and the cuts. It occurs a lot at the fourth level podium. And while we were initially probably inspired by the notion of Ipe and the boardwalk and the park and all those kind of textural things, and also something that had a residential scale, we also need something that's, I think, more bulletproof and indestructible to be happy to be 350 feet in the air. And so we're currently looking at a cement fiber plank that essentially is installed not in like Ipe would be. It comes in boards, comes in all manner of colors, and we think we can achieve that sort of residential sort of texture and scale with something that will essentially last forever and not fade. We've got some more homework to do on that. And I think with that, we'd just like, we're here to hear your questions, your concerns, talk about ideas you have. Our intention would be to come back in July for design review. We've been moving quickly, and the idea is to keep moving quickly with the hopes of having this be a feasible project and breaking ground before the year is over, if all is well.
Okay, questions? Commissioner Kelder?
Holy shit.
You're on the record, Commissioner Kelder.
We're back. Condos, 300 feet, let's go. Oh my God, this is really so exciting. I'm sitting over here, I'm just like salivating. The idea of like working on that kind of thing.
So am I. It's so great. Oh, it was the best 6 weeks I've had.
Yeah. And the other thing is like, I'm kind of disoriented that somebody's spending money on a building, which is what, you know, it's like, it's hard. It's
to pinch yourself and make sure it's 2006.
Yeah. I'm just so excited about what you're doing here. I think it's no surprise that you got some positive feedback in your neighborhood.
I think it needs more hardy board.
It's not going to fit in. It's not
a variety of materials.
Reveal fasteners.
At least five materials. Yeah, that's what everyone else is doing.
I'm just diving right in. I just think this thing being a marker really at sort of the terminus of the space that organizes our downtown is just killer good. It's just really, really inspiring. If Hoyt can build something like this, man, way to go, Hoyt. I think that this is what we need people. I'm willing to, you know, in the heart of our city and these really important sites to really just make these kind of moves that are bold. I mean, I feel like as a commission, we've been seeing projects where we're advocating for that at times and wishing we could get more of that. And this is showing up and I think is a really great example of what that kind of thing can be. I really have very, very little comment at this point other than just congratulations on This work, it looks great, and I think all the moves are just really interesting, and they're doing really good things urbanistically. The only thing, obviously, is the length of service area along the one street. As you get it, you know, you move toward July. Any little moves you can do to help try and get more activation on there, whether it's, you know, pulling those handicap spots out of that side to try and, you know, even just get another 15, 20, 30 feet, you know, in on each side would be interesting. I thought maybe as you developed it, the bike parking is such a major big thing. If there was a sort of more direct kind of connection of that out to the street somehow, it's a little bit, it is buried, which makes some sense. But it's a little bit through some back hall to get there. And with the quantity of people kind of, especially here, bikes, yeah, like it's going to work. And making that really accessible and easy to get to and part of the design would be inspiring. Yeah, it's super exciting. Great.
All right, well, good night. anything? No, does anyone else have anything else to say?
Well, I just reiterate, there's a great quote in the movie Almost Famous where the mother says, be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. And not that we're a mighty force, but I would say echo David's sentiment that this is a bold statement and appropriate for its site, and but I do have a couple of issues, and I think the elephant in the room is kind of the above grade parking and how that's going to be handled. I mean, it is, I think, probably the exception for maybe the last several half a decade or more of projects in this area just automatically going underground with the parking. So. It is a big shift, and it's great to see that you've done that. You've lined it with activity and living units on the north and south. I'm just a little worried about, I don't know if it's 80 feet or so on each elevation for two or three floors, and just it's not only could it be dead actively, but it could be active in a very negative way with the headlights and the lighting that's in the garage, and so it begs the question. What is that glass like? Is it clear? Is it really opaque? And is it, but does it have that quality that you're looking for? And so I think there's a threshold you have to get past to kind of convince me, at least, and I don't know if about everybody else, that is a workable kind of edge condition that isn't negative. If it's neutral, with everything else being so positive, that might be okay. But it's something that I noticed that kind of isn't in the package, really, you know, that in terms of that elevation per se and that section. And so so obviously that's the one thing that's kind of, from an urban planning standpoint and putting parking in the air, is the reverse move that we normally see. I guess when I looked at the plan, I was like, oh, man, look at this. They have actually, on the ground plane, chopped this building up, and you're walking through the park, and then, oh, well, too. No. Oh, darn. But... Yeah, so I was really shocked if that was the party, but I guess I would also suggest maybe are the sidewalks the right size on the north and south? Is there a little bit more you could give to activate that edge for people to spill out on the opposite edge of the parks and that kind of thing? So, but I get an echo. Yeah, this could be really, well, it will. If it's even close to this, it'll be something pretty special. This point. So, anyway.
Yeah. Is it at the maximum height allowed right now? Or
no.
Is the shadow confining it?
Yeah, it's the shadow.
Because, from my opinion, the shadow is not, it's fine. 714 feet or a couple thousand feet. I think that's something it'd be interesting to talk about. If that's the only confining point to a few more floors for Hoyt, let's talk about that. But I agree, this is inspirational, not only as an architect, but a developer, and most importantly, as just a citizen of Portland. I just see this is so exciting, and I think in the capable hands of your team, Tiffany, and everybody you've assembled, it's fantastic. I mean, it's so refined and balanced. It's fun just to look at, to try to find something to criticize. but it's kind of hard to do. And I would say that the potential of the parking garage, I actually saw it as an exciting potential, is that if you modulate how we see those car lights, I don't think it would be bad to see some of that filtered play of light behind a fritted glass. I mean, I think my regret in some of the downtown buildings that do have above-ground parking is it is completely dead. And there's a lot of examples of that, pretty close to this, actually, where there's just four or five floors that are dead, and you look up at them, you don't know what's going on. So I think to activate that with the car lights at night would be kind of, you know, moderate it so it's not just two hot spots. But somehow, and you guys could easily pull that off. But I think the balance of it is great. I think the height is fun to see, finally, you know, again, and especially in a point tower like this that is refined and as delicate as it is. So I'd say, and I would like to hear the other commissioners' thoughts on if the shadows cast a little deeper into Fields Park on January 21st of the year.
Well, it's kind of funny, they picked the one day. If you go a couple months either way, that shadow's going to be striking right through the middle of the park.
And the shadow's going to move. This is... Mm-hmm. This is your date, so I'm just doing the best I can.
It'd be interesting to show another date that really, what is the real difference, you know?
And we could certainly model like a more of an experiential shadow as opposed to the regulatory one.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is in the winter with the clouds in the sky, it always diffuses the shadow anyway. So where you think you're getting that really long shadow, you maybe get it 1 or 2 days in the winter, and you really don't get it most of the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. The shadow is not a big deal to me at all on the park.
When you're trading half the size of a building width for a little extra height. So
it's
like the actual sunlight, I mean, and your perception of light and air would be much greater with a
smaller tower.
I think that
was part of the neighborhood's aspirations from even when we were doing the Northborough plan. It's just that while there might have been some concern over height, I think the visible sky.
What is the height limit?
Really important.
So it's up to 460 if you could demonstrate the sun shadow. So that's, like you said, if you could demonstrate the sun shadow, is it any more of an impact? So that's the limiting factor. But
the height is different just for these sites that surround the park. So the sites that surround the park have this restriction. The rest of the North Pearl, north of Lovejoy, doesn't have this restriction. And so it's more height limited by FAR and floor plate size.
I could see a sculptor putting Roman numerals in the park and just having that sweep across and tell the story.
Sidewalk artists.
Yeah. I was really happy to see the, I think the glass, obviously, is huge in the identity of this building. A subtle, you know, choice of whatever you choose to have the glass treated with can turn it from just being, you know, potentially just dark, you know, black, a black building, to one that's really full of light. And I was really excited to see you pull up, you know, whether a fan or not, of the kind of shape of the buildings at Ground Zero. I think the glass color is actually spectacular. And it has a kind of neutrality to it, but has real life and light in it.
I think we're trying to avoid being too colorful. I think Floyd's been very clear without any opinion about South Waterfront not to have the glass be dark like it tends to be there.
Yeah, right.
And so, and yet we don't want to be highly reflective. And so it's going to take a lot of study to find that sweet spot in the right glass type. We're working with the people at the moment who did that. And so I think we have the skill to help us find that glass.
Yeah, the higher, the clearer it is, and the higher the light transmits, the blacker it is. It's counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
So you actually have to get more reflectivity into the glass in order for it to have that kind of lightness, which is counterintuitive. Mm. You think, oh, that's clear. It's not. It's the opposite. Mm. So that's the crux, without it going to color. Right? Yeah.
I have some comments, actually, and a couple of questions. Good job. I appreciated the landscape design that was in the first document for the reason that it provided vertical vegetation and mid-rise vegetation and hardscape. So there was a variety
to the spaces that were created, one providing shade, one responding to wind and those kinds of elements, and then another that was more suited for gathering. And I thought that was, we don't see that diversity. We usually see a diversity in shapes or scales or materials, but we don't usually see it in plant forms. And I think providing those options, whether someone wants to read a book next to blowing grass or sit under the shade of a tree or have a drink on a hardscape, that's really community building in an interesting way, because it gives people choice within a public space, quasi-public space. So I think that's really good. Am I correct in assuming that the 5-foot inset eliminates awnings?
We're assuming we don't have awnings, that is the protection. So partly we were doing that for that reason. I mean, I think partly wanting to get the sidewalk wider, as I mentioned earlier, so we're about a 17.5-foot sidewalk.
Right.
So if we were fortunate to get any food service or something, but also then to shelter the doors and provide a shelter walkway.
That's where I'm headed. It would be my hope.
Yes.
That we wouldn't have to stick awnings on this thing.
I think that's our hope as well.
Good. Unless you wanted to for some reason. No. That was very cool and smart. You know, I'd like to. Excuse me. The live work facing the park is a great idea. You know, those can be retail, and at the time that's appropriate, they could be bike rental, they could be an insurance salesman, they could be 50 things. But excuse me, having that flexibility on that face, so that as the park grows and it defines what the uses are in the various festivals or non-festivals or what occurs there, gives the building the flexibility to kind of use that as its front yard in a very public way, and I think it's fantastic.
I think one thing that we're hopeful for Hoyt, I think, is a pretty good idea, which is frequently live work has often been built with both functions to begin with, and so it's sometimes not that great for either, and there's not as much space for work or retail because, you know, there's residential things. I think our thinking is to design it to be zoned for either, but leave the shell empty.
Right.
I think in the ideal version, it would be work retail. But then if someone wants to buy it to live in, it can be built out as a unit.
It can be an architect's office. It can be someone who really wants to live where they work in that old way. So I think that flexibility and letting the market as well as the adjacent uses determine that over time can be one thing one time and something else later, I think, is a great way to go. And it's hopefully be a great example for others to follow. I'd recommend that you consider looking at a large-scale artwork on 11th to animate that side of the building that you're trying to animate now, either something integrated or applied to it, tile, text, obviously the highest quality possible, but something that's very smart. Oftentimes you can solve some of those dead space issues with art a lot cheaper than architectural finish. And so by integrating that opportunity in at the beginning, it also sometimes can be something that you see further away, like a block or two away. I think Streetcar Lofts has a lot of mosaic on the outside or something. It's pretty well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, there's more bad examples than there are good examples, but if you get a smart artist, I think it can be really a good for the building. And certainly,
mm-hmm.
What?
Good suggestion, especially going up to the park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think maybe you've done this already, but I think if I were in your shoes, I'd do a plan view of the park and its actual design and uses and cast the shadow on the uses. Are you casting the shadow on the dog park? Are you casting it on the kids, the playground, or is it just the entrance to the, you know, what? What's being affected in terms of the users of the park rather than just saying, oh, any shadow on the – you may be just the first 20 feet of paving.
Actually, that is the case. And if we did the more seasonal shadow, we could show that as well. But what we're currently landing on is a series of sidewalks. The playground space is slightly farther north.
Well, I'd label
central.
It. I mean, I'd make your case and say,
sort of rendered version to show.
This is where the kids are. This is where the moms are. This is where the dogs are. This is where the, you know, whatever's going on in that park. So you can say, yes, we are creating a shadow, and it, you know, okay, it's the entry. Or if you go taller, it makes the case say, Well, yeah, we are shadowing the playground, and what days are we? And you know, to get it away from the fear abstract and be very specific. This is what you're gaining, this is what you're losing in a discussion, because everyone has things to gain by density in this neighborhood. So I think that's a value. About the parking screen, I think it's critical that, as you've suggested, it's the same skin as the building, and that it's just the glass just continues down. That's fine. And there are diffusers that you can create that will turn the headlights into an abstract, if you call it 1960s kind of
light show
thing that we probably all know, many of us in this room, that experience. But I mean, what it does is it'll diffuse the headlights, so you won't see the source point. It'll just be,
you see moving light or something. It's well, maybe animated, like someone else's comment was. But it's,
yeah, that I think, and so that doesn't change. Yeah, depends on where the product came from. No, but so you still have your glass. Mm-hmm. It's animated by the light when there's movement, but it's not. It's not experienced as headlights. Mm-hmm. It's experienced as some kind of movement. That may be, and I mean, it's plastic diffusers, you know, it's something like that. You know, it shouldn't be expensive, but might be a way to get at that, or even some kind of mesh or something. Anything that would diffuse the light, so it's not recognized from the street as headlights, so that the movement actually animates the building rather than detracting it, as long as you don't see the source. So, but that's. That's all I could think of. Everything else, fine.
Well, I just would like to add that I think the building is just incredibly beautiful, and it just shows just a lot of potential, and I really like those really deep balconies.
Yeah.
Those just look
really
amazing.
Cool.
And really great places to be and enjoy the outdoors. And I really like the way the roof terrace steps down, and that you get that feeling from the sidewalk of views up and into it. I think that that's going to be a really special place, and how that's detailed, and how it, also the landscape design is treated there. And I agree with Tad. There was just something really intriguing about the first roof terrace plan, just kind of in its simplicity, that the angles were used in a way to reinforce the architecture rather than having so many angles that you don't get
right.
That feeling. It just makes the building stronger. And also the spaces that were created by the landscape, they were less seeming like one grand space and pathways. They were more interesting in their size, mm-hmm. and the variation in sizes. So something was lost a little bit in that. But I think that, you know, just as that design develops and becomes more rich, I think it'll be, really great, too. And I think that it might have just been the way you were describing the roof terrace as being extensive. But I hope that didn't mean that it was just extensive in terms of it being only 3 inches of soil. It was just extensive as in
yes.
extensive landscape. Yeah, because I think having the variation in the plant material would be great, too.
I think we're imagining trees. And
yeah, it could be really, really incredibly beautiful. So, and the other thing, too, is I agree with Tad about having some sort of an amenity at the ground plane for pedestrians, whether it's art, which I think is a really great idea, or if it's just the way that the boardwalk's treated and having that deep overhang where you're planning on having tables and chairs underneath, that could just be a really incredibly beautiful space. And maybe it's just that is treated, there's just a more special treatment there at the boardwalk than there is on the other sidewalks.
And we've certainly not gotten there yet, but you know, I could imagine the ceiling of those cuts, you know, being some nice material or something,
mm-hmm.
which also just
right
helps
the... Yeah, it could be really special. So yeah, well done, it's gorgeous.
So it's 5 feet in there.
I was just going to ask if, just to think about it, if there are things, I just want to say this because we see it here from time to time, is that as you're developing this and you see things that maybe the letter of the code doesn't support but is able to get you, like to make, like if you're going to end up, again, I mean, this is going to end up being very financially challenging. That's the whole crux. And if you end up against something and you see a way out that could help make it better, but requires, I'm exceeding, some Oriel window projection, or I'm exceeding such and such, we approve that stuff all the time if it's making the kind of big thing better, right, in
yeah.
some way. So be
creative about that as you approach this and think about things that might help you, you know, make the floor plate a little bigger in some places to help your efficiency or whatever. Think outside the box a little bit and bring things here that can help you get there. This, I think when you have such a positive, there's such a positive thing that you're trying to achieve, and you can have us, you know, the commission is behind it, then they're it's the big picture, and that's what we're here to do. And so when there are things like this, it's
great. We want good things to excel, because then we can use them as examples to other people about how it needs to be done. It's quite simple. You must be doing something right. This is the first time Jane and I have agreed about landscaping.
Yeah. I don't have anything to add.
Just a question. Is this the... Because you're going to be at... You're at your maximum FAR, or close to it.
We're very close. We're within 5,000 feet.
So, like, theoretically, if you could get the tower piece... If you could turn that into, you know, one more unit into that tower piece somehow, and not exceed your, you know, your shadow, and your shadow thing grew by 500 square feet, but it meant you could take a floor or two off or something to help make it work. I mean, that, I think that's the kind of thing, you know.
I think there's been some slight testing and creep of the floor plate in a way to get more efficient, and yet, on the other hand, I think we're... pretty well instructed to avoid what I think happened often in South Waterfront, where even though the aspiration wasn't thin like this, it was maybe 10,000 feet or 12,000 feet and ended up being, you know, bigger for economy. I think we're, it's a slippery slope. So we've grown some, but we don't want to grow too much.
And it's also really exciting to see for Hoyt to have the courage to kind of come in and say owner occupied, you know, again. It's just really exciting to see that happening. I think that's really going to inspire some other people to think, huh, is it time? You know. And what's great about that, in my mind, is that now our city starts to see two-bedroom family, you know, things that families can live in again, mm-hmm. which it just hasn't, you know, families aren't paying that kind of rent. So, I mean, I think that's what's been prohibitive. That's why all the projects we've been seeing, very little sort of two-bedroom anything, it's allowing families to kind of move into the downtown. So it's great to see that kind of thing emerging out of this, too.
If I could mention one other thing. I think Kara didn't mention it, but one modification that we'll be looking for has to do with the loading, you know, the requirement for one large truck or two smaller ones. What we've provided is one smaller one, which is inboard in this location, loading into the back. Although I think our experience has been that the real move-in at a big building like this happens with a much larger truck than will fit in the garage, and the second small loading space isn't really helping us, and we're fighting like heck in terms of the pro forma just to get enough cars, you know, to make the thing work. And so I think what we'd be asking for is support for the one space in the building and not the second. Yeah, I think the assumption, certainly compared to to a rental, that the number of moves is a lot less. But also because they're largely, we have a high percentage of two-bedroom units, people aren't going to be moving out of their pickup truck. They're going to be moving out of a large van or something.
That is a modification that I feel like you see on every single project. So Kara can maybe help you with some guidance on how to approach it.
Good.
I just wanted to mention it just to make sure.
You mentioned the wood. You're doing a little research on the wood-like product. What products are you coming up
with?
Curious. What products are you coming up with that you guys are
liking? I can pass this over. Maybe, can you? This is a product that essentially comes in planks. It's a cement fiber reinforced plank. But you can see from some of the photographs and some of the precedent images, obviously it's cementitious and sort of much more indestructible in that regard, but yet I think it in the right color, and we're not really sure what color we would use. We sometimes rendered it as brown, but it actually there's some really beautiful charcoals and things in that palette when you actually see those samples.
And that is the Oko skin, the brown rendition.
Right. That's the product there, and so it's a plank you can use horizontally, vertically. You can use it to walk on. You can use it as a cladding material. So we're thinking of that in that it unlike the e-pay, it doesn't have the maintenance issues and the liability we're concerned about at that height, but yet could still provide that sort of scale. The one thing we're looking at some other products. This, either for better or worse, is a surface mounted.
Yeah.
So they use a colored fastener. If we did it, I'd be almost more inclined to do just a stainless or something instead of a plastic cap or something. Part of the issue, I think, is that it could be clip mounted or something. We'd probably end up needing bigger sheets. And we've explored some ideas of bigger sheets that were grooved, but that's not working out just yet. But so, I mean, we're looking for other products. We've talked to Arcus, who they tend to work better as a big sheet, and they're a lot thicker and heavier, and it just doesn't seem quite right. And so,
it'd be nice if you could avoid the visible fasteners.
Yeah, I think that's the only question really about this product.
Yeah.
Is,
yeah. And it betrays the...
It's not my project, but, I mean, I would go after, okay, what's the largest invisible fastener product we can get and go with that and work the matrix into your design
We're just starting to work with the contractor, and so I think some of these kinds of questions about options and how to support these materials we can test.
I mean, it's a different story, five, six stories, 10 stories up, but
correct.
At the ground plane.
You may be able to do something like that.
Material.
Well, they may even be able to use two different materials. And that are so close visually and in color.
It's true.
When you get up high enough, you can do the fasteners.
We've been just, in some principle, just trying to have two, but there could be something else that just works better up in the air.
Yeah.
But this is sort of at least in the spirit of kind of what we think this could be.
And just in terms of the elevations you had, all your upper elevation, all of its glass, there was some of those elevations, I think more the overall ones.
Got a south one.
That's spandrel.
The verticals are.
The verticals will be invisible, and essentially, code wise, we're only going to have, if we're lucky, 40% vision glass. Maybe not even that much for energy code, but somewhere in that range. So the rest is spandrel, and so the sort of challenge is, is to really find, and this is where that reflectivity question comes in, and you can see it in sort of the World Trade Center buildings. You find a spot to where those, at least in the daytime, aren't visible. At nighttime, obviously, they really would be. You try to get a spot to where, we don't want to be as visible as that, but there are some, you can sort of see some of the spandrel panels. Obviously, these that we're purposely trying to show, but they're examples of good curtain wall where if you get the right glass, at least it's less visible.
I was curious about the, I'm not sure what level, but you had a kind of a stair step of landscape on the north side, and one came out, and you kept the one to the south side. And I didn't know if maybe trying to keep both, but if you've got issues with the north side of the shadow, can you compensate for it by carving the building out towards the north side versus the south? It was a
hard decision. I mean, I think both views are phenomenal. I mean, on the north, you've got the long view, certainly. I think when there was just the reality of, is there a second cut there, or is there...
I was thinking...
Is there 1,000 feet of saleable space? I think we probably opted for a sunny... The one benefit about the south cut, it also has a great park view, but it could be a sunny space. I could imagine the story going either way.
It wasn't so much as the building centric as it was from across the park, perception of the building going down.
I see, from that side. On that side.
If you have shadow issues, can you trade a little bit of more openness?
It's more open. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Anything else?
Gwen, I just wanted to, I wasn't sure when it was appropriate, but just one first, David, just starting out with holy shit, thank you for that. holy shit, just to be here after 4.5 or whatever many gruesome years, and we wanted to make a bold statement coming out. That's what we're trying to do, but I may be saying holy shit when I start looking at the pricing, which, so we're just starting that process, and you guys were understood that right away. We're doing everything right here, but it's going to come at a cost. So that's something we'll obviously be working on and looking at, you know, what we can be doing to make this work. This is the appropriate block for it. We've got the right team, really great team, who has worked with us on our last two projects as well as master planning. I appreciate everybody's thoughts so far, and some of the comments that have been raised, we did look at. We looked at a cut through the building to start. We typically put our parking below grade, always have, but in an effort to make this project work, we're starting to look at, okay, if we put parking above grade, that helps us on environmental issues and costs there. So we have to start looking at where we can find savings, and that was one of them. Otherwise, we did look at going from park to park. On the other side of that, you start looking at the boardwalk, which is a significant piece, and if you've got a cut here and a cut here, then that's good, but you have people going all different ways as well. So a lot of things to think about on this site. Tad, I appreciate you bringing up the art. You almost made me forget that we used to do an art piece for every one of our blocks, whether it be on the building, mm-hmm. in the case of streetcar lofts, or signage on streetcar lofts, mm-hmm. Tile on Tanner, but the kiosks in the parks. It's something we haven't looked at yet here, just trying to get the building to work, but we will. And we're big supporters of that throughout the neighborhood, so I appreciate that. I think 11th might be the most appropriate, even though that's kind of an odd street there.
I was thinking to solve the service thing. That's where I was suggesting. I think the building is very artful on all the other sides, but that was offered as a way to maybe help solve your problem.
So I really hope to come here in July and say this building's still looking like this, and that's our goal, and we'll work very hard to make that happen. So appreciate all the positive feedback. It's just really nice to hear. I'm very excited today, so thank you.
Good.
Thanks. Thanks for all the help.
Nice work. Thank you for coming in with it.